So I've been praying about and thinking through this day for a while, and this has happened to me a couple times. I'm still kind of green with as far as leading it from this position. I've been an associate pastor, but as a lead pastor or as the solo pastor in a church, this is my first experience with this, and you've been extremely gracious through this whole journey. But there's been a couple times where I felt like God said, hey, I know you've put all this planning into something, but I don't want you to go there right now. And this morning is kind of one of those times. I even had, okay, so Keaton put it up. I had an illustration I was going to walk you through. And I think that we'll hit some of this, and I'll just kind of briefly say what this represents. But when I was in college, I figured out this trick that they would give me this long list of things to memorize. But if I drew a picture of the different parts of it, it would help me remember it. And so this is my throwback to doing that. And so I'm just going to say what this represents, and then I'm going to go back to what I really felt like God had put on my heart this morning to share. And I think it will kind of dovetail with this still at the same time. But when I think of why we're here, I think of in that box with the cup there, that's a communion cup. And I think of why are we here? Well, the thing that ties us together is what Jesus did for us. That cup represents his shed blood, that he died that we might have relationship with God. And so that cup represents relationship with God. And everything that we are flows out of relationship with God. Everything we do flows out of relationship with God. We don't want to just be here for religion. We want to be here because we believe that the living God is a God that we can know. And so that's why we gather here, for that reason. We believe that. And the next thing is a wheel. And a wheel has spokes in it. And what makes a wheel strong is that combination of spokes. A spoke is that little metal wire on a wheel. It's very weak on its own. But when you put it together with Christ in the middle, we as individuals in community are strong in him. And so the wheel represents community, interdependent community. The fork and spoon, if you look at Jesus' life, you see that much of his deepest interaction spiritually with people is around a dinner table. There's the wedding meal at Canaan. There's him sitting with Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and Zacchaeus turning his life over at a dinner table. You see Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, who gives himself to the Lord and then throws a big party with all his friends at his house, has a big meal and invites Jesus so that his friends could meet Jesus. You just see the importance over and over again of meal. And hospitality is one of the ways that we connect God's heart to those around us. A meal. But more than a meal, just hospitality, being willing to serve one another and serve those that are around us. And so I'm going to speak a little bit more about that in a little while, but hospitality, missional hospitality. The last thing is a compass. And we're part of a denomination that historically has been about mission. But a compass is a directional device. And for us, Matthew 28, as Christian Missionary Alliance churches, we take that seriously. And historically, we've sought to fulfill the Great Commission, which is Matthew 28, to go to the world and make disciples. And so So we've got four symbols there that I think are a big part of why we come together. So, this morning, there's three things that touch on those things, but three things that I wanted to leave with you. As we embrace where God's brought us, and as we look to the future for where God has us going. First off, God is jealous for our affections. He's jealous for our affections. If you were here several months ago, you remember we were in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2 and 3, which are seven messages to seven different churches in Asia Minor. So these are real churches that Jesus gives a short little paragraph of a message to each of these churches. And if you remember, we hung out quite a bit in the message that Jesus gave to the Ephesian church. Because he said, you're doing all the right things, but you've lost that love you had for me at first. Your affections are no longer mine like they were at first. And he says, it's such a big deal to me, Jesus says, that if you don't get this right, I'm going to shut your church down. And then you move to the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. And Jesus says, Laodicea, you're lukewarm. You're lukewarm in your love for me. And he says, I'm knocking at the door. I'm knocking at your door, and I want to dine with you. I want to sit in communion with you. I was just reminded this morning just how important that message is, that God is jealous for our affections. Do you remember the first time you realized that? That it was more about, it was not about religion, but it was about a relationship with God. You remember that? You remember how that transformed your life? We never should get too far from that. We need to stay connected to that God is jealous for our affections. He loves you. He loves me. It's not about religion. Secondly, God made us to thrive spiritually within community. What I love about Westside Chapel is that it's full of so many people who are willing to serve. And if you go through, we're a small church, right? But if you go through, our directory and say, like, we want to start a new ministry. Let's get somebody that's not already ministering, doing. Most of you are involved in some aspect of ministry, and I love the willingness to serve that's a part of this body. I think a big part of that is, an important part of that is figuring out how, we talked about this in Ephesians when we went through Ephesians, that each of us is wired by God with a specific gifting and plugging into that, discovering that. Many of you know what that is. And Paul tells Timothy, who apparently knew what his gifting was, to go ahead and practice it. Go do it. But for those who don't know what your gifting is, I know we have a range of ages here. So if there's kids in this room or adults that don't know what your gifting is, let's discover that together. That ministry that God's called you into. A big part of growing in spiritual community, I found, is small group. And so, if you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you to get involved in a small group. And that's an area that, as I look to this next year, it's an area that I want us to really embrace, is this area of small group and the capacity for small group to do what this time is special. But there's something that small group does that this doesn't do. When we connect in small group, when you look back at the book of Acts, you see that the church gathered at the temple, that first church gathered at the temple, and they listened to the apostles' teachings, but then they dispersed into each other's homes. And in smaller groups, they continued to process through life together in the teachings of the scriptures. I'm thinking back just this last couple weeks with our small group, and there's been some hard things that some of those people have had to go through. And we're still growing in our friendship and our relationship, but I've been encouraged that those people, some of those people in that group have had been able to just text out, hey, I'm struggling with this, pray for this, or I have this coming up. And a big part of how we grow spiritually is within the intimate relationship of a small group. And so I want to encourage you, if you're not in a small group, to get in one. But also, if you are, to embrace that group and how God wants to use that group in your life. The third thing I want to encourage you. So God is jealous for our affections. God made you to thrive spiritually within community. Thirdly, last thing I want to share is pray for your neighbors. Pray for your neighbors. When the Thompsons came to visit, so the Thompsons are missionaries that we have a relationship with here at Westside, that we've had a relationship with. Well, you all have had a relationship with for a while, and then I've been brought into that relationship. But I remember that Dr. Thompson, who is both the Thompsons are in Africa, and they work with medical missions. And Dr. Thompson was telling us about things that I can't do. He's a doctor. He's leading, both he and Becky are leading this ministry of training nationals and in medical skills and stuff like that. But I was touched by one thing that he said. He said that I'm meeting with this one guy, and I'm trying to share my faith with him. And he's a guy that doesn't know the Lord. And so I'm doing it once a week. I meet with him. And as he was sharing, I'm like, that any of us could do that. But he saw that as an important part of his ministry, more important in some ways than the medical side of things, the things that sound real amazing, you know? I'm meeting with this guy. And then Becky, his wife, shared about how she was looking out the window and she saw these masses of people who needed to know Jesus. And she just felt overwhelmed. And Jesus said, look at the individuals. Get to know the name of the individual. Don't overwhelm yourself. I've got the crowd. You just take it one neighbor at a time. And that impacted me because I'm like, I can do that. And then I was talking to a missionary friend of mine who's a missionary in Japan. And he was just telling me about his life. And a big part of what he does is connect with neighbors through hospitality. They go to the park and they meet with kids, other kids, families, and my friend throws a basketball camp. He meets with someone over coffee. Things that hey, I could do that. I could do that. So all three of these conversations were going on in my head, and I'm just thinking. They all kind of connect with hospitality. People just meeting with other people, showing love to other people, but within the context of relationship. And I think of us as we pray for our neighbors. There's a corporate aspect to that, but there's also an individual aspect to that. Corporately, it's been cool to see how Feed has plugged into that. Feed's kind of evolved over the how long has it been going on? How long has Feed been going on?
A year and a half.
A year and a half? Year and a half. So I've been here for half of that that time. But even during that, it's been neat to see how God's used that, but it's evolved. It's not exactly what it started out as, but it feels like God's got his hand in it, and he's using it. But a big part of what we do is just show hospitality. We just get together, have conversation, and look for God to show up in that conversation, in that warm meal. That's a corporate side to it. But I also think there's value. There's something that is maybe heavy on my heart, is that we begin to take seriously this aspect of neighbor. We're very good at reading a passage of scripture and like spiritualizing it. Like, what does neighbor mean? God wants me to reach my neighbor. I wonder if I know him. You know, and instead of like neighbor, our neighbor, well, Jesus does make it clear that our neighbor is everybody. The people we don't like and the people we like, right? But what if we took it literally and we said, hey, I'm going to reach my street. I went through the directory and I looked at, not very many of us are on the same street. In fact, there's only like two or three of us that are on the same street. And there may be other Christians on your street that you can join with in praying for and encouraging each other to reach your neighbors. But what if we just started getting to know our neighbors? Some of us don't even know the names of our neighbors that are right next door to us, right? That's the American way. We don't know our neighbors. But I just want to encourage you to get to know your neighbors, just to simply pray for your neighbors, and then regularly pray for your neighbors, and then look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to show hospitality. I'm not very good at it, but I want to be good at that. And it's interesting because a while back ago we had someone over, one of our neighbors over for dinner. And I guess in some ways, for some people, that I'm a pastor, it's easier for non-pastors to have spiritual conversations with some people. And for some people, it's, oh, you're a pastor. Okay, I got to talk about God then, maybe. So maybe there's a little bit of it. But it was interesting because we didn't even start the conversation, but all of a sudden they just started telling us, like, well, this is where we're at spiritually. And we're grappling with these things. And they're sharing, like, real things with us. And all we did was say, you want to come over for dinner? We weren't, like, brilliant at, like, we're going to get to the spiritual conversation. So it just reminded me that God is at work. And I want to encourage you, because what I'm saying, some of you are, I need to take lessons from you. But I think as I think of one of the things that God really wants to nail down this year for us is that we love our neighbors well. And it's going to be for the long haul. It's going to be one of those things that we say, hey, I'm committed to praying regularly for my neighbor and looking for opportunities. Because if we're praying and looking, opportunities are going to happen. We're going to have spiritual conversations that happen. And in the end, I think some of those people are going to show up here. But I don't really think that's the point. The point is that we're living the way Jesus has called us to live. And if we're part of their journey and planting a seed, then we've done what we're supposed to do, right? So God is jealous for our affections. God made you and I to thrive spiritually within community. And pray for your neighbors. It kind of does fit into this bracket here. But I think those are things that if you would join with me in praying into this next year, what God has for us, I think those are things that God's laid on my heart. And I'm encouraged by how you are already living into those. But I sense that God wants to to grow us in living into those even more. So I want to close by reading a passage of scripture. This is from Romans 12. And so if you want to close your eyes, or I want you to just listen to what God has to say to you through this passage. I'm going to start in verse 1. I'm going to read it in the message. So that's a paraphrase translation of the scriptures. Romans 12. Paul is speaking to the Roman church. He says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God, by what He does for us, not by what we are or what we do for Him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of this body, but as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we ourselves are fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something we aren't. If we preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If we help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourselves get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Westside Chapel. I thank you that we're a part of your family, that we're that local expression, one of those local expressions of your body here. And Lord, I'm excited for all that you have for us. I love that you've led us this far, but I'm also excited for what you have for us in the future. Lord, draw us to yourself. I pray that our affections would be completely and 100% yours. That when we say, I love you, Jesus, that it would be the reality of our heart. And I guess part of that, Lord, must come as we more fully understand how much you love us, because you loved us first. So remind us through each other and through your word over and over again that you love us and that we are loved. And that's our main identity as children, beloved children of yours. Lord, draw us to each other. I pray that you would protect us from the attacks of the enemy that would want to sow in disunity, but that you would be our guide even as we connect with each other, that we would live like you did towards us, selflessly, that we would have the mind of Christ, that we wouldn't do things out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, we would consider each other better than ourselves. And then the world will know that we are Christians by our love, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us a boldness and a deepening heart to reach our neighbors, those that are around this building, that live in these neighborhoods around here, but also for those people that live on our street. Use us, Lord. We want to see people come to know you. We're grateful for how you're drawing us towards yourself, and we want to be used to draw others to you. Blessed to be a blessing, Lord. So thank you, Lord. Thank you again that we're your children and that we get to be a part of this group of people. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Would you sing this with me? Come let your rule and reign.
Come let your rule and reign in our hearts once again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we were made. Set our hearts ablaze with hope like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church, and we need your power in us.
Build your kingdom.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and lands. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Amen.